and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Coming to you live, bringing you another episode of The Brothers. And we'll jump into tonight's episode, My Tweet. And I think once we get into the conversation, our listeners will definitely pick out why we picked this topic. Today is very fitting for the topic. But first, Big Roop, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I've been on my home rotation from work, and I am rotating back into the office tomorrow, but it's been a good stretch for me, so I guess it's time for me to go back to the real world.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Sounds like I'm going back to the real world.
Yeah, going back to fun. It's always fun to go to work, isn't it? Pun intended.
Well, you're right. That's the right attitude. You know what? I'm going to take your energy and follow the attitude because we have to make work fun and we have to make life fun and do the best we can with it. So you know what? I'm thankful to have a job. I'm thankful to be employed gainfully. So yes, I'm going to go have some fun tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So the news of the day, and again, our episode of My Tweet is about what for our listeners? What recently just happened that I guess up until a few days ago was beyond belief?
Yep, Twitter has a new owner.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So just to bring our listeners up to speed, assuming they're not, a few days ago, last week, Elon Musk reached out to Twitter with an offer. Well, if you go back a week before that, Elon disclosed that he was majority shareholder of Twitter. He'd been purchasing shares for a while, and I guess SEC regulations, once you have over a certain percentage of the company, you have to make it public. And at first, it seemed that it was just kind of a casual thing. We already know he's the richest person in the world, and he's riding high on Tesla stock and everything. So it almost seemed like he was just kind of mentioning it, right? And then I think within a day or so after that, it kind of seemed that he had some intent behind it. So again, just to reiterate with the SEC, if you purchase a certain amount of a public company, you have to disclose that fact. So it seemed initially that he was just kind of following the regulations, but then it seemed to kind of turn that, well, maybe I should take over Twitter. And I think history has shown us with Elon Musk that when he jokes about something, he follows through with it. So a few days later, it seemed that he was very serious, that he was, you know, interested in purchasing Twitter and that he might be able to run it better than it had been run. And then finally, well, there was pushback from the board because I don't think anyone took it seriously, like, okay, should Elon Musk own Twitter and should Twitter be private? But then it just kind of caught some momentum. But then it seemed like the board was not really on board with it. And then what happened yesterday, Big Roof?
I believe I got a tweet. I shouldn't say a tweet, but maybe it was a tweet that he had finalized, or he's in the process of finalizing a deal to buy $44 billion.
Exactly. And that's where the jaw drops. Because I think, like I said, him saying he wanted to do it was one thing, right? Which, again, as I outlined the process, it seemed to be a joke, right? A $44 billion joke, but a joke. It seemed to be that he wasn't really seriously about his intent to buy the company. It was more like, I got so much money, I'm just buying whatever I want to buy. And then within like a week, it was like, yeah, we accept your offer. And I think that's what everybody that followed the market was like, whoa. So it went from joke to not joke to done deal like that. And I think that's why we decided to talk about it, because I think the speed of it and the lack of maybe analysis is what catch people off guard. Like, is this a good thing? Right? So jumping in right there, is this a good thing? Is it a good thing that Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter for $44 billion? And what does it mean that Elon Musk is buying Twitter for $44 billion? What does that mean?
Well, is it good? I mean, that remains to be seen. Is it going to change the dynamics of how the service works? Is it still going to be free speech? You know, is it going to change how we interact with it? So we have to, those things are going to, you know, take time to see if things, those things change.
True, true. What's your initial reaction? Because I think just on the surface, one, Elon Musk is a very colorful individual, right? So I think if Bill Gates, for example, said announced it, I think it'd be viewed differently. Or if it had just been some Wall Street conglomerate and this seemed like a good investment decision, I think it'd be viewed differently. I think because it's Elon Musk and because of his personality, it has a certain flair to it. And then, like you said, is it really good for Twitter? Is it good for the users of Twitter? Now it's about millions of people that do use Twitter. Who does this benefit, right? So again, when you say it's going to be good, is it going to be good? We don't know. But on the surface, what is your instinct that is this going to be good that Elon Musk decided he wants to buy Twitter?
Well, I think the first thing is it going to cause someone to use it more or less? Or someone who's not using it now, will they start to use it? I mean, those are things that I really don't have the answer to. Me personally, I don't think it affects me one way or the other. I'm not a big tweeter. I do go on there every once in a while and you get some information from them, or, you know, you see someone who's tweeting about a certain topic, but I'm not what you call a big Twitter user. So I might not be a good judge as to how much this is going to change it.
Okay. That's a valid point. That's a valid point. Full disclosure, I think Twitter was actually the first social media app that I engaged with that I thought I was going to actually use and interact. I have a lot of ideas that I sometimes think I like to share with the world, even though I never do. So I guess I don't. But I thought Twitter was a good format. Basically, I forgot, was it 48 characters or 24 characters or however it started out originally? Basically, you had to put out a quick message or a quick statement to the world in a very concise way, which speaks to my personality. So I actually thought that Twitter was a good idea to get people to use their brains and to share important information. I stopped using it, or never really did use it, because I guess I don't tweet either. So to your point, yeah, I don't know what the personal value of it is. But it does have millions of users. At one point, President Trump used it as his official statement to the world. Like, in other words, instead of official press releases and briefings, he would tweet. And I think, if anything, that gave Twitter a whole different level of importance, because now we're getting official American national policy executive decisions via Twitter. So maybe that's a good place to look at it. At that point, Twitter became mainstream.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Yeah, it became a direct link to the American public. So I guess if you're using it in that format as a direct way to reach your constituents, it can be important. Like I said, I've never been a big Twitter person, but it is a good way to, if you're a celebrity or a public official, to reach your constituents directly.
Exactly. And I think that has been the value of Twitter. I think, like you said, there are other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, now TikTok, to name a few, that have broader functionality, and they're not necessarily meant for public distribution. In other words, you know, people share things with their friends and it can go viral, but it's different than Twitter, which did seem like it was an official platform for celebrities, like you said. And, you know, LeBron James, he wanted to make an announcement, he went on Twitter, and obviously we mentioned the former president. So it did seem to have its own distinct lane. It was very specific. And to your point, is that going to change? I guess that's a good way to look at it. Is that going to change? Is LeBron James still going to use Twitter the same way? Is former President Trump, who was actually banned from Twitter, now going to be back on Twitter using it again? So I think that's a good way to look at it.
No, it's a good way of looking at it. And again, I think a lot of the questions we have remain to be answered, because we don't know what the changes are and how quickly it will take place anyway. if there are going to be changes, it's going to take time for them to be implemented, you know, by the new regime.
True, true. But I think the question that we have is almost one that we have to ask now, because the thing is, if it's bad, we're not going to find out until it's already bad, right? There's nothing we can do about it. We can just start from that point of view, right? Basically, Elon Musk and a set of investors decided to buy a company. That's no different than any corporate purchase of a public company. So that's not different, right? That's why I said if you take Elon Musk out of the equation, and if you take the condensed timeline out of the equation, it's not that strange, right? Because companies get bought all the time. It's just the fact that Elon Musk is such a, again, such a vibrant individual that, again, no one took it seriously when they found out he was the largest shareholder. And we went from basically that disclosure to 2 weeks later, him securing the purchase of Twitter. So I think for me, the nuts and bolts for our listeners and probably for the larger audience is, this is good. This is good for the country. This is a good thing because Twitter does have some type of public value, right? It's something where media sometimes gets information from Twitter. So the former president will put out a tweet and then all of the media entities, the newspapers, the TVs, the streamers, they would take that information, do their research, and then report that to the larger audience, right? So Twitter definitely played a part in the news cycle. And now that it's going to be a private company owned by Elon Musk, even though he says that it's going to be represent more public free speech, it's also going to be a private company. So is that really what's going to happen?
Well, that's a good question. But my question to you is, was it always a public company? Or by him becoming the majority shareholder, is that going to make it private?
It wasn't always a public company. Because like most companies, you start out, you know, you have private investors and you grow it and then you take it public, you know, the IPO. So no, it wasn't always a public company, but its growth to being a serious competitor was partially fueled by being a public company. Yes, he has expressed interest. Well, no, not interest. He said he's going to take it private. That was the reason why he wanted to buy it. He thinks that it's not being managed effectively. And he thinks he's going to do a better job managing it as a private company. So he's already expressed his intent to take it private. So, those are the two bookends. Virtually no company starts as a public company. They all start private, usually, and then they're rolled out. And yes, Twitter is going to become a private company again. So the question is, which you mentioned before, is it going to function the same way? Is it going to have the same transparency? Is it going to have more transparency, which is what he's promising? And I think those are the questions to ask. Is it going to have the same? Because there's no real measurement of a private company, right? They share what they want to share. And he said he's going to make it more transparent, but how do we know? So I think that's the real question there, you know.
Yeah, and that might be a key factor to its long-term success. If he takes it private and it's not the same entity where you can reach directly to your constituents and fans, and it's not just transparent, I think that could hurt its following. It could hurt its numbers.
Agreed. I totally agree with you. I think as recently as last week, I joked about Twitter basically being his notepad, right? Because it was a joke. Like I said, it was something that you didn't take the richest person in the world saying, I'm going to buy Twitter, a large public corporation that, you know, basically is a large bulletin board. And it just didn't seem real. So I remember joking, he's buying it just to have his own little notepad and him and his friends are going to send messages to each other. Now, the reality is that might be the case. Because if it's not a public company, he no longer has a responsibility to make money for a large mass of shareholders, right? It's now just him and whatever investors remain. And maybe making a profit isn't their number one interest. I mean, his wealth is not derived from Twitter. So to your point, does he mind if he loses users? Does he mind if he gains different users? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this really good for Twitter? Now it's, again, our episode is my tweet, right? This is now my tweet, my Twitter. And does that benefit us? Does it hurt him? Does it not matter? I don't know if we know any of these questions anymore.
No, it's true. And, you know, if he takes it private, we don't know what his real intentions are. He could take it under the guise of he's going to make it, keep the freedom of speech going and everything else, but he could have his ulterior motives. So only time is going to tell how it's going to turn out.
Exactly. And it's funny, just having this conversation right now for our listeners, it did bring up a different point to me as we were talking about it. I mean, is it any different than CNN being private, right? Because CNN not being a public company, right, does that change the level of news or information or transparency of it, for example? And maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't change it. Maybe being a private company doesn't actually change it. That thought just came to me right now. I'm thinking it's hard to separate this conversation from Elon Musk. And I think that's the biggest problem. If this had been a more subdued investment process and purchase by, I hate to say, more legitimate sources, I don't think the conversation would be the same. I think, again, it's because it's Elon Musk, the real life Tony Stark, who just on a whim says, I'm going to buy Twitter and does. But at its core, is it wrong or harmful? Maybe not. I mean, you're right in saying we're not going to know for a while, right? Which is always the case. But you're right. If somebody said they were going to buy X number of news companies or channels and take them private, would it have the same type of attention?
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of, I guess, Ted Turner going to buy a couple of different news entities and put them under his umbrella. You know, because it's Ted Turner, it might have a certain effect that everyone's like, oh, is it going to be good or going to be bad? Whereas it had been a more unknown character or a more traditional person, it goes under the radar.
True, true. And then even to the point where a few years ago when Jeff Bezos, you know, the Amazon CEO, or former Amazon CEO, decided to buy the Washington Post. And I think the difference there is no one questioned would the Washington Post still be the Washington Post. And I think that's the difference, right? The question now is Twitter still going to be Twitter? And again, I don't know. Maybe it's because of Elon Musk and his personality that the question is there, because maybe that shouldn't be a question. Maybe there's no reason to think that it won't be Twitter anymore. I mean, the Washington Post has remained the Washington Post, same editorial process, same reporting process. So maybe Twitter will remain the same entity it is now in some new form. But it feels different, though.
Yeah, I think we should think of it more in the terms of the Yankees get a new owner or the New York Giants get a new owner. It's still the New York Giants, it's still the Yankees. Now, the results might be different because maybe they don't have the same commitment to winning. So you can say the same thing with Twitter, but the actual functionality should be the same for most people. And I think if it does change, that would affect maybe how people interact with it.
Ah, you know what, Big Roop? You just nailed it, though. You just nailed it, right? Because regardless of who owns the Yankees, we don't get to play on the field. And with Twitter, that's what was different, right? There was a certain level of play that we all got to do. And I guess the question is, are we still going to get to play the way we used to? And then what impact is our playing or lack of playing going to have? You just nailed it. That nailed it. That is the difference, right? Because whether it's CNN or the Washington Post, it didn't change our interaction with it, right? It simply, we're on the receiving end of it. But with Twitter, where we, you know, people had a chance to contribute, right? And is that going to change? And we don't know that. And you're right, that is the difference.
Oh, no, that's true. I didn't think of that when I was saying it. I didn't think of it, but that's true.
Yeah, I didn't think of it until you said it and I heard it. Because when you use the Yankee analogy, you're right. Whoever owns the Yankees, we don't play, right? You buy your tickets and you go in the stands. New owner, you buy your tickets and you go in the stands, right? the owner might be nice and let us go on the field a little bit more than the current owners and so on and so forth. But we're not going to pitch next week, right? Whereas with Twitter, right, sometimes we get to pitch. Sometimes we get to bat. Sometimes we're in right field. Sometimes we're second base. And that is what might change. And you're right. That is the core of what's going on right now. Are we still going to get to play on the field?
Well, that is that's going to be the most interesting thing for everybody that's involved. How much are they still, is it going to change their interactions and their abilities to communicate using that platform?
Exactly. And yeah, so I mean, you know, today's episode is my tweet for our listeners. And I think the conversation Baruch and I are having and analysis is bringing some more clarity to it, hopefully for us as well as our listeners, because this, I mean, for anyone who follows the business world, this is like really big news. And I don't think it's just the dollar value of it, right? There are bigger purchases and things of that nature. It's this feeling that something is changing that maybe shouldn't change. And I think, again, the last few minutes we've just talked it through has kind of brought that. Is Twitter going to be the communicative tool that it's always been, that it's been?
And we only can hope that it will be, because, again, a lot of people use that to get their message out or to interact with their favorite celebrities or public figures. And hopefully that access won't be curtailed.
Exactly. Or maybe even enhanced as the new owners are saying it will be. So, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. So I guess we could look at it through a different lens now from the business part of it now, right? Because I think one of the critiques of the last couple of years has been that billionaires, usually tech billionaires, because they tend to be the richest among us, are able to have an outweighed effect on the world, right? I can just buy something that no one else can buy. And when I say no one else, I mean groups of people can't buy it, right? I can just basically modify the way people live almost single-handedly. And I think that's now more the dollar value of this conversation, right? Let's be honest, Elon Musk is worth around $250-260 billion. And so he could basically have bought Twitter by himself. Like, he didn't need to, you know, join with other investors and kind of put together a package. He could have just went in his own pocket and bought Twitter. And I think that's the other part of the conversation, not the dollar value. Should one person have so much power that they can just basically do whatever they want?
Well, that is the whole key to having the free enterprise system, I would assume. And most of us don't want to live in a communist state, so we believe in free enterprise, even if most of us will never take advantage of it or be able to benefit from it.
Interesting point, and well said. I do wonder why a lot of time we had these conversations, we go from extremes. So it's either extreme capitalism to its infinite end or communism. And it's almost like there's not a middle ground. Not saying from your point of view, just saying in general, you're right. It feels that either billionaires can do whatever they want, or we're going to be a communist country. And there's no kind of middle ground.
Yeah, well, this thing, I guess because billionaires are so polarizing, they have so much wealth. They have more wealth than a lot of countries. So it just seems that creates a totally unlevel playing field.
Well, does it seem or is it? I mean, we could say it seems like it, but isn't it a totally unlevel playing field?
Well, I guess it is unlevel. I mean, they get to set policies and basic laws change because of them and not the other way around.
Exactly. Because interesting enough, I mean, I think, again, the speed of the deal is something else that took people, you know, by shock in the business world. And I think that's when you look at the board of directors of Twitter, including, you know, one of its co-founders, Jack Dorsey was also a billionaire, not at the other level. He's like 4 or 5 billion. So, like, again, like, that's only, right? That's what the conversation now. He only has like 4 billion. So next to those guys, he's struggling. But it makes you wonder, did the board of directors do right by Twitter? Did it do right by the company? Did it do right by the user base or not? Right? Because again, now you get to the nature of capitalism. What is their job? And their job is to maximize shareholder value, or that's how it's perceived. So in that case, you could say they did a great job, right? We got a great return really easy and quick, and that's it. But did they have a larger responsibility? Were they supposed to do more?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Well, I think it's just like what you said. If their job is to maximize earnings for the investors, they're probably doing a good job. You know, do they have other responsibilities to keep the platform as open as possible or whatever? That might be part of what they intend to do, but it might be their main focus. Usually money is what makes the world go round.
That's true. That's true. But and again, I think this is leading us beyond this conversation clearly, but what is their responsibility, right? Because it's like elected officials, right? Once you're elected, I mean, to be representative of, you know, your constituents, then you're supposed to represent all of the interests, not some of the interests, not a little bit of interest, not none of the interests, all of the interests. And I would assume the same is true of a board of directors, right? You're supposed to represent all the interests of shareholders. So is it simply the return on equity, right? Is it simply maximum profit, or are there other values a company is supposed to represent that they're supposed to represent? And again, that's maybe a conversation that is beyond this conversation about my tweet. But I think that's part of the problem, right? Is it always supposed to be about just money? Is that why so many people feel like they're left out? Because at least in Yankee Stadium, we know we're never going to get on the field. That's not how it works. But if we're in a situation where we're on the field and suddenly we get shooed off the field, was that done fairly, or how would we feel about that?
Oh, that's true. That's true. You know, basically, this deal leaves a lot of questions that still need to be answered. And I'm sure that most of us regular users won't be privy to those answers for the immediate future. It's going to take a while for everything to be figured out.
No, that's true. That's true. And again, I think that's an interesting point, because the problem is, if it's bad, right, we'll probably realize when it's too late to do anything. Not that we could have done anything again, so that's another way of looking at it, but just the fact that if it's not a good outcome, right, it already happened. So it's not some, and again, I think that goes back to the speed of it, right? I don't think people have had time to digest what it should mean, could mean, might mean, shouldn't be, is. It just mentioned, considered, done. And like you said, the outcome won't be felt for a while, most likely. So yeah, that's where we are today with our episode, My Tweet.
Well, the only thing I'd like to add is that if it does turn into something negative and people don't feel they're getting the same user experience, that'll create an opportunity for somebody else to make another platform that everybody will jump on. So, I mean, if one thing goes up, something else will take its place.
I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I just think that part of the problem in the tech business in particular has been the monopolization of social medias and the monopolization of certain areas of technology. So what happens is somebody comes along 25 years later and there is no room to get in, right? Like, for example, you know, the broadband business, right? Pretty much the broadband holders are the broadband holders. So someone says, hey, I want to sell my broadband business. Too late, buddy. You know, but really, I want to make sure that I extend more speed and more security for users. Too late. So I think that that's one of the possibilities with Twitter and social media. It's already so monopolized. Is there room for future social media platforms? I agree with you. Opportunities are always there. I just don't know what certain monopolies, if there's any room to grow.
Well, that's true. And we always talk about, you know, barriers to entry or whatever. But I think in this case, we see that certain platforms, they come and they go. So I'm not saying that Twitter will definitely go. But if it changes to the point where it's not recognizable and people aren't able to communicate, I do think something may come to take its place. And I do agree with you. There is a lot, a high barrier to entry for a lot of things. But, you know, I think that evolution has a way of, you know, straightening things out.
No, well said, well said. I mean, you're right. That is a part of capitalism and market dynamics. So, I mean, you're right. You know, what happened is not wrong. You're right. Those of us that believe in capitalism and that form of enterprise have to respect, right? Elon Musk has been very successful. He had the funds to acquire a public company, and he did. So from that point of view, everything worked the way it's supposed to, and we'll have to see what the outcome is. But you're right. I mean, that is capitalism. So I guess if you're going to play in that sport, then you got to take your wins and losses.
True indeed. True indeed.
Yeah. So I think we've talked the episode pretty well through, and hopefully our listeners have gleaned some understanding from my tweets. And we always do try to sum it up with a call to action. So is there any thought process or anything you'd like to share with our listeners as a call to action?
I would just say keep an eye on the finalization of the deal and if there's any changes that it's going to be finalized, any changes in the way that we're able to use Twitter and interact with it. But other than that, I mean, we have no real control. It's just a matter of if you choose to keep using it.
True. No, that's true. That's true. And I agree with you. I mean, there's not much we can do. So I do like your call to action. And I think my call to action is going to be to question more and to pay attention more, not just to this particular transaction, but just in general, because maybe as Americans and as members of the capital markets, because again, we are consumers, so we are part of the capital markets, maybe we shouldn't be so comfortable that we're so powerless. So maybe we just need to kind of pay more attention to see, are our dollars being factored in and does our voice matter at all? Because I don't know if I feel comfortable being in a market where I have no say. And you're right. This is a situation we have no say in. This is billionaires playing with other billionaires. And I guess Elon Musk has his new notepad. He bought a $40 billion notepad, right? But yeah, maybe we shouldn't be so comfortable being so powerless in the capital markets.
No, that's a good take on it. I mean, I'm not sure what tools we have to change it, but maybe you're right. Maybe we are too comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, for our listeners, this is all just food for thought. And ironically, if we had this conversation 10 days ago, almost none of it would have been relevant, because I don't think if you would have mentioned this 10 days ago, anyone would have thought that this was possible, let alone done. Right? So, I mean, I think that's kind of the shock of this whole situation, is that it literally came out of nowhere and it's pretty much a done deal. And so those of us who do use Twitter, again, you and I are not necessarily the biggest Twitter users, but anyone who does use Twitter, you have no say, right? This is the new reality. And again, maybe we shouldn't be so comfortable that reality could change so fast and we have so little say in it.
Well, that's true. I mean, we all need to just stay on top of everything, keep engaged, and like you said, try to speak up when we have a chance.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So hopefully our listeners got a bunch of good details and food for thought out of the episode, and we'll be back with another one soon enough. But again, for tonight's episode, my tweet, I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.